You're now listening to La Verdad Podcast.
Bueno, mi gente, how's it going, man? We're finally back.
It's been a month, man. I'm sorry. We're sorry we held off for so long.
Just in case you don't recognize our voice, man, this is Christian Alequina. I also have
Carlos Martinez, and, you know, it's La Verdad Podcast. We're back at it for another week. Last show came out like July 6th, July 7th, mm-hmm. And, you know, we ended up deciding on a one-week break. But then we noticed, wow, this little break was nice. And we decided we got lazy for a minute. Yeah. And we turned that little break into an actual just midsummer break, just a July break. We said, you know what, we'll take the rest of July off. You know, checking in every once in a while on the Facebook, on the social media, but taking some more time just for us and some more family time.
Yeah, we definitely needed some family time. And I know we've both been traveling and busy with our regular jobs as well. So the good thing is that, you know, the La Verdad mentality has not stopped. So while we were even on vacation, we were brainstorming on some new ideas. We got some new stuff that's going to be coming on. We're going to talk a little bit more about it later on in the show. But before I do that, Carlos, man, how you been, dude?
I've been good, man. I took a much needed vacation. I had about like 9-10 days off of work. Went down to New York, visit family.
Yeah.
It's always nice to reconnect.
How did it feel, man? How did it feel going back to the roots?
It feels good, man. You know, I moved to Michigan when I was about 9-10 years old. But for a long time, I would still go back. I'd spend my whole summer. So about 3-4 months out of the year, I'd still be in New York. Then, you know, as you get older, now I may be in the city once at the most twice a year. And but it's always nice to reconnect. You know, you feel refreshed. I don't miss the traffic.
Oh, I can imagine.
I ended up staying right. My wife's family's from Jersey, so I spent some time in New York, but most of our time in this trip was actually in Jersey. And so, but it was right over the river, right? So it was real close to the city. And
yeah,
I lived in New York for a long time, and I never visited Statue of Liberty. So I did some of that. I did that tourist thing.
I saw your Snapchat. Yeah, you were like a Dominican tourist in New York.
I just fresh off the boat.
Did you eat a lot of the good Dominican food out there?
But I eat that here too. I mean, that's basically all I eat. Wife's Dominican, family's Dominican. I have my taco every once in a while. A couple of taquerias nearby. But other than that, man, the food was great. My wife's grandma cooks delicious. But it was really just chill, right?
Good.
I did a lot of family stuff. The traffic was hectic, so I didn't miss that. But I came back early so I could spend a good 3 or 4 days just back in my house, just kind of laying around being
recharged. Recharge your batteries. Yeah. You know, I had a camping trip I went to, and you know, a lot of people were making fun of me because I went to a camping resort.
I was about to call you out on that. I never heard somebody tell me I'm camping, yet they got Wi-Fi.
Yeah, they're like, you know, I'm from the city, man. I can't go all out like that, bro. You know, you're putting a Puerto Rican in the middle of the woods. I can't do that yet. You know, I gotta, you know, get myself into it. But it's been like about 6 or 7 years since I've been camping. So it was great. You know, I went out there with my girlfriend. We were able to have a good time. You know, setting up the tent was a pain in the butt because it was raining. But at the same time, as soon as I finished that, I popped open a beer and I was just relaxing. I put my Bluetooth speaker on, enjoyed the free Wi-Fi, and listened to some salsa while I was out there.
Nice.
People were looking at me like, damn, who is this Hibata over here with a Cubs hat listening to some salsa?
I was gonna say, man, you getting reconnected with those Hibata roots.
Yeah, man, you have to, you know, and that kind of brings me into something that we're gonna be talking about and doing, you know, in the next couple of weeks. We're actually gonna be doing something called Salsa Fridays. And my mentality behind that is that I wanna get you guys set up for the weekend, right? But I also wanna show you guys how salsa has played a big influence in our society, you know. So I'm talking to AKA El Salsólogo, who's my father, who's a big salsa fan. He knows the ins and out of the industry. He also knows, you know, I could pull up an album and say, who was the trumpet player for this song? And he'll tell you who it is. So he's helping me find some files and find some songs. And we're going to start talking about salsa music and going into a little bit of detail on the socially conscious salsa, salsa consciente. That's what I like to call it.
Okay. So, and you just gave me an idea. If you're going to be giving off facts, that could be a nice little competition. Tough questions. If you get it, we got a couple extra shirts. We'll send you a La Verdad shirt.
That's a good one.
Nice way to give back. I hope we have your size. If we don't, then I don't know. Cut the arms out. Give it to a friend. but it's, you know, it's on the strength of the love.
but the focus behind it, you know, is to bring back the roots. I know you mentioned you were going back to your Jibaro self right there playing, and that's exactly what I want to do. And eventually this could take over into this could. Transform into a whole different topic where music plays a big role in our society. So as you will notice throughout the songs that we're going to be showcasing on Salsa Fridays is that those songs and a lot of the quotes or the refranes that they use on the songs have been used by hip-hop artists, have been used by reggaetoneros. So it's something that definitely has stayed in the mainstream in the mainstream media, and also has stayed in the musical arena where people are still keeping up those old traditions of the Jibaro days or the original roots and still putting it in the music nowadays. So I'm excited about that, man, because you know, my music is my thing. Mm-hmm. And I want to show it off, man.
Yeah, I got some ideas. So I think, you know, salsa is going to be the base just because we got your dad as that expert where we don't do as much research. So it makes it a little easier. but at the same time, it's a good foundation. And then, you know, we'll build on that. We'll throw in some bachata, some merengue, some, you know, duranguense, cumbia, you know, even music we don't know much about. If you're listening and there's some music, if you think we're slacking in your area, something that you like, you know, maybe you're into vallenatos, Colombians, let us know. And you could teach us, throw in some of your flavor into the mix. So we'll do some of our research as a base, though.
And don't let me fool you, people. I know my duranguense. I know my corridos, man, really well. I mean, I think I said it before in one of the podcasts. I used to play for a Mexican band, and I'm Puerto Rican. So, you know, I love all types of music. So, sure, I know we have a lot of listeners that come from Mexico. I know we have listeners that were started tuning in after the Adriana Almanza episode. So from Guanajuato. So big shout out to you guys. So definitely we'll talk banda. We'll talk duranguense. We might even get her back on the show to talk some banda because she loves that stuff.
Yeah, man. She's straight paisa.
Yeah. But with that being said, too, man, I know we had a lot of big, you know, buzz behind the Adriana episode and the Brother Abel episode.
It was kind of bittersweet to take this break just because. Back to back, those were probably two of our biggest episodes since we launched with the first one with Chacha. So Chacha, the Abel Muhammad and Adriana Almanza episodes have had the biggest buzz out of all of them. Mm-hmm. And it's always cool because each time, you know, we get to interview somebody that has their own little base or their own following, a group of people that they connect with. It's like you're extending our family. We're making it a little larger. So they might only be here for one episode, but, you know, we're honored to have them. Hopefully a few of you listening now started off with some of them. And really, that's kind of how you grow the platform. That's how you start building that brand. And it's getting stronger and stronger. I wish it was faster, right? But it's really cool. And just to watch how every episode you start getting more and more listeners. And, you know, even one week might be higher than the last one, but overall, the constant growth keeps going up, and it's an honor to see how, you know, people are having some sort of connection with this content, even so much so that we've gotten a couple emails, some shouting us out, but some that were valid critiques, and I love them.
Yep. Only that, but I'll be honest with you, I've been growing with each and every one of the shows that we've had. So, you know, for example, when we had Adriana there, like I was able to understand a little bit more how it is, how you can use social media. I've never really been so active in social media. It's something that Carlos has always been pushing me on. But because of that, I remember I got my Twitter back on and I was trying to get my Twitter on. So
shout your Twitter out, man. It's still pretty sad.
Man, I don't even, man, hold on, let me look, because you know what, like, I don't even know what my Twitter name is. Hold on, let me look for my Twitter handle. But aside from that, aside from that too, like, you know, having Brother Abel here, I was able to understand a little bit more on you know, the religion itself. Yeah, because
what you think about that episode? What you think about it?
It was interesting, man. You know, I've caught myself just eating one meal a day nowadays.
Really? Okay.
and it hasn't been that bad. You know, I actually thought, you know, it was very interesting because I've always been so focused on just Christianity. I mean, that's what I, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but my first major in college was theology, and it was a focus on Western Christianity. So, you know, I've always been kind of biased in that sense, where I only knew Catholicism and you know, all the other Christian denominations around it. So when I was able to hear some of the stuff that he was talking about, I was like, man, that's not too far, you know, it's not too far away or too far different from what I know as far as Christianity goes. But and it opened up my eyes in a sense where I needed to understand myself more, you know, and have a little bit more of a inner, I don't know if that's even a word, of inner understanding or enlightenment. So it was good, man. I loved it. I know a lot of people have talked about it. You know, people that have been biased like me as well, where we just know about Christianity, have listened to it, and they're like, man, that's not that bad. Because unfortunately, throughout media, the Nation of Islam has gotten, you know, bad rep throughout media.
Whenever organization says to the world the white man's the devil, it's gonna cause a stir, and I get it. You know what I'm saying? But I was able to, because I had done some research when I first heard that term, or when I read some other stuff. Just like everyone, I was a little like standoffish with the information. But kind of when I dug a little deeper, I just think they were using the language of religion, right? Mm-hmm. So God, devil, to just explain what they were seeing in the world. So they weren't saying devil in the sense of there's a spooky guy under the ground, and you know what I'm saying? It was, the way I look at it was, if somebody told me white supremacy is evil or racism is evil, that's kind of saying the same thing. That's why he was able to say, you know, Father, what's his name, Flager or Flager?
Yeah, Father Flager.
Father Flager, in a, you know, a Catholic priest, right, out in Chicago. They got a great relationship with him. And so I think that whenever you encounter any new piece of information, even when it's a little controversial, I say look into it. If you say, oh, that's bullshit, cool, that's bullshit for you then. But at least kind of look into it deeper. Just even with politics, people say, don't vote for Donald Trump. I'm not, you know, I wouldn't vote for him. I think he's an ass. But you want to know why he's an ass. It's not because he just said one thing.
Exactly.
Dig deeper into it, and it'll help us all be a little smarter.
Let me shout out my Twitter real quick. It's okay. I just found it right now. My Twitter, hit me up on it. It's Aleki CH. So it's Aleqich. So hit me up on Twitter. I need to ask some more friends. But let me chime in on that too. You know, one of the biggest things that I've been able to get out of the show is to take that opportunity to research, right? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we grow up, and I know, you know, I could only speak of you know, of myself and of my culture. You know, we tend to be very hard-headed. And sometimes, you know, people will tell us, you know, we grow up thinking that color is black, yet it's in reality, it might be charcoal. And because we grow up thinking it's black, that's it. It's black. You can't tell me different. So one of the things that I want to encourage all our listeners, and one of the things that I've been able to do, is to just research, to be open minded, to understand that your opinion is your opinion, and I have mine as well. And it's not wrong to have opinions. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times I see this in social media all the time, where it's like somebody might post something up about Bernie Sanders or Hillary, and it's like, oh, you suck, I'm going to defriend you. It's like, come on, dude. Yeah, like,
why?
I don't care, man. It doesn't change who you are. Or people that even support Donald Trump, oh, you're a racist. I mean, come on, dude.
Now, I got to be real. A lot of them are. A lot of them are. But I get it. I get what you're saying.
You know, and that kind of, you know, the same thing with like the Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. It's like, come on, dude. Like, you know, I think you and I can share the same sentiment that, you know, we understand that our lives matter, but right now is the Black lives that we have to focus on. You know what I'm saying? So we've been getting a lot of that in, here and there, and it kind of upsets me. But at the same time, I understand that certain people have not gone through that, that enlightenment to understand that, you know, you have to be open-minded about certain things. And unfortunately, society, and not just society, but the way that we were brought up, does that to us.
Yeah, man. Information is powerful. I didn't, when I was in college, I read way more now that I graduated school and I don't have to go to school than what I did when I was in school.
Yeah, same here, man.
But it's because I started getting to pick what I read. And man, when you find information that's powerful, that could like change your life or change the way you look at things, it's important. I have books in my house. I got a mini library, but I've got books that I bought 3-4 years ago. And my wife will be like, hey, you've bought these couple of books here. I've never seen you open them. And I tell them, I read something about it that's good, and it's just going to sit there. And when I need it, I'll need it. And yeah. I pulled some of those books out 2-3 years later, and I got the piece of info I needed. It could have been for a presentation. Like, one was when I was getting ready to buy a house. I had a book with information about getting a home for like 2 years before I opened it up. And so, you know, knowledge is key. Right now, you don't even have to buy your books if you don't want to. There's books online. I have like 150 books in my phone that I haven't purchased, just old books you can get on PDF. So,
okay,
stay engaged, man. Stay, try and learn something new every day.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah. Go ahead. Okay. When we say la verdad, you know, we talk about our truths might be different, but
yep.
You better make damn sure that whatever your truth is rooted in some sort of knowledge and information. Exactly. It's not just on some opinion without facts, because then you'll look, exactly. You know, you'll look ignorant and you won't just.
And I want to say that the moment that I started to kind of, you know, like just how you mentioned it, you didn't start to actually dive into reading a lot till after college. I want to say that the moment that I found out that I was going to be a father, that's when I started to really start getting my read on. And it was mostly because I was afraid of giving my daughter any bad advice, you know? So I remember I picked up a book in regards to how labor. Then I picked up another book on raising a daughter, you know, and I, like you said, you know, I might not have read the whole book, but I highlight certain things, that have helped me, you know, even nowadays. And I remember too, I was going through a little slump in my career, and I remember, you know, a friend of mine was like, hey, check out this book. And he gave me this book called Think and Grow Rich.
Oh, it's a wonderful book. I got it. Yeah,
and that helped me out so much. You know, I haven't finished the book, but I took some things here and there from it.
It's a short book.
It is a short book. I
finished it this weekend.
Yeah, I'm probably going to finish it up this weekend. But it's been one of those books where I've been able to, like, you know, just read. And then it pumps me up to do something new or to do something else or to keep going on what I have. And that's the book that actually sparked up La Verdad for me. A couple of years back. So what is this, 2 years already? And I remember reading that book and talking to one of our former members and talking about, hey, let's start up our own brand, and here we are nowadays. So familia, you know, read, get as much knowledge as you can. I get that from my dad. I remember when we were little, my dad would always get the newspaper and make sure that we read at least an article before we went to school.
Nice.
And he's always reading the news. You could ask that man anything that's happening in Puerto Rico right now, and he will tell you, and he will know more than some of the people that live in the island. So
listen, when I went last time, I was at your house at the barbecue. Your dad pulled me off to the side and we started talking news about Puerto Rico.
Yep.
Yeah, so I believe it.
Yep.
And for those of you who maybe you don't know what to read or you don't know what to look up and you're just trying to learn something new, hit us up. I got tons of recommendation for most situations you could think of.
Yep.
If you're feeling down, feeling depressed, if you're looking for a new job, if it's not a book, I got an article. Because yep. I have a list of things that I've read or I like that I just recommend out to people because it's powerful.
And if you're not a big reader, man, like I will suggest getting like an Audible account, I think it's called Audible.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Or not just that, man. Like I'm not a big reader as well, but I'll listen to a lot of different, you know, self-help podcasts. It just helps us out, man. And some of the stuff that we talk about in this show is from other podcasts that I've heard or other professionals that I've talked to, and just keeps a fresh mind. So that's one of the one of the goals that I have with, that we have with La Verdad is to be able to help you find yourself and be able to enlighten you every single episode that we have. So
yeah, we're trying to make sure that every time somebody takes time out of their day to press play, that they're going to learn something.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's why sometimes we got to take a break to recharge. And, you know, that's why we it's been a minute, but we're back.
So I definitely learned something the other day. I logged into Instagram and I saw that Instagram had kind of like, yeah, it was like, yo, you guys completely robbed Snapchat. But honestly, it's a pretty cool move, man. Like, I think we're going to start using that for when we do our Salsa Fridays. So be on the lookout for Instagram and, you know, give me some feedback on what you guys think about that. What do you think about it, bro?
I think it's brilliant. Right. So Snapchat had a bunch of the younger people. Mm-hmm. There were, it's like, you know how when what's a good example? When MySpace came up, when MySpace was popping,
yep.
Facebook was like this little cool club that only people, kids with college, you know, college yeah. emails could use. And then it was the young people thing. Now it's phased out. Now Facebook is the thing for everybody. But then Twitter came through and there were people who weren't going to jump off Facebook to go onto Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat. So the kids keep jumping to a new platform and making it hot. That's what happened with Snapchat. I don't think it's going to really hurt Snapchat, but I think that it's going to help Instagram more. So there's a lot of people who said, I don't need Snapchat. It's dumb. Now they don't have a reason to even try it because they can get the same exact function on it. But it's what tech companies have always done. The whole idea of having a news feed, I think Facebook had it, then Twitter had it, now Instagram has it. Mm-hmm. Now it's pretty much everyone has a news feed for like the most recent content. And so I think that's what's going to happen with stories. I
don't know. I think it might hurt Snapchat, to be quite honest with you. I've seen a couple people on there that have been like, yo, buy Snapchat, you know, because you don't want to keep multiple media. So now you have Instagram where you're putting your pictures up and now you have, you know, the stories. And I think it's cool, man. Like you could just go in there and see what's going on.
It's going to happen with us. We were thinking about opening up a Snapchat account, but now we don't have a reason.
Nope.
Our Instagram base is way larger than what we have on Snapchat. So it makes no sense for us to try and do it on both. So for La Verdad, you're only going to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, at least for the time.
And as long as they don't add the doggy filter on on Instagram, I will not use any filter. But be on the lookout because we're definitely gonna be posting up some stories on there in regards to our Salsa Fridays, at least for the Salsa Fridays. And then you know we also have our two friends that have joined us a couple times, B-Fig and Nati, who might be able to add some stories on there as well. So be on the lookout for that.
And they'll be back in the upcoming months hosting a couple more shows and kind of just chiming in because, you know, we're busy, right? Just like all of y'all are busy. We'll have work. We both travel for our jobs time to time. So we're kind of working it out so they can step in every once in a while also because it's important to get multiple perspectives. You know, one of the emails that called us out with a critique was the fact that there wasn't enough of a woman perspective on the show. Mm-hmm. And we both agree 100%. If we want to be stronger, we need that diversity of opinions come challenge us, be it, you know, their perspectives as women or their perspectives just as people, right? So it's good to kind of go back and forth with each other because Christian and I tend to agree a lot and that can get boring.
Yeah, man. So one of the things too I want to do is something that we always encourage is for you guys to hit us up on email or comment on our Facebook because we want to be able to feed you guys with whatever you want to hear, you know. So whatever topic you think is something that you want to hear our perspective on, put it out there. But we do have some exciting topics coming out, and
we do.
And one of the topics that I want to talk about today, before we end the show, is why did Carlos have KRS-One as one of his wackest rappers?
Oh no! Let's correct it real quick. Let's rewind a second. So there's been this trend, this little Facebook trending topic. So it's things like, you know, rapper I think is overrated. So I'm gonna read you my list real quick.
Okay.
And then I'll tell you where there were two spots that people kept trying to, they was attacking me and I didn't appreciate it because I think it's all facts. I think my logic is solid right here. So for my rapper I hate, I put KRS-One. And for those of you who don't know, KRS-One is by many considered one of the founders of hip hop. But even if they don't consider him a founder, he's for sure a founding father. He He had one of the biggest waves in the early days down in the South Bronx. Rapper I think is overrated. What's the other one? I put Tupac. Right. Before I break those two down, I just want to give you the rest so you can get an idea of how I think. Rapper that I think is underrated, Lauryn Hill. Lauryn Hill does some singing. She was doing the singing rapping thing way before Drake. But I think as a rapper, she's amazing. I think she's better than a lot of male MCs, too. That's why I kind of put her there. I would put her as a she would probably be in my top 10, regardless of men or women. Rapper that I love, DMX. Rapper I secretly love, Nori, N-O-R-E. A lot of it's probably dealing with the fact that he helped bring reggaeton to the mainstream.
Okay.
But I also like a lot of his older albums. I relate to them. Favorite rapper, I had a tie, Nas, Jay-Z, Big Pun. And then the rap GOAT. It's I'm biased. I used to live in Brooklyn. I discovered hip-hop living in Brooklyn, so Notorious B.I.G. All right, now, rapper I hate got me a couple of people saying, why KRS-One? It has nothing to do with him as an artist, nothing to do with him rapping or his like hip-hop credentials. Okay. It's only because he defended a guy called Africa Bambaataa.
Okay.
Wait a minute. I think I might have messed up. A little while ago, was I just saying KRS-One was considered a founder?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I was thinking ahead. Africa Bambaataa is that person who had a big deal to do with the early foundings of hip-hop. But KRS-One is definitely a pioneer. He was part of that like second or third wave.
In the second wave.
Yeah, correct. So my bad. But, you know, Africa Bambaataa was one of his mentors. And so Africa Bambaataa, he was the head until recently of what they call the Universal Zulu Nation. Started as a gang in New York. He turned it into a social service organization. There are worldwide chapters around the world. So he's like, you know, he's a god figure for a lot of these people. It's like, you know, if it's like if you're in a fraternity, you're founders. That's who this guy is for those people.
Yeah.
Or if you're big into your country politics, the founders of your country, that's, you know, hip hop can be considered a nation. And that's how they look at themselves, Universal Zulu Nation. So this guy, Africa Bambaataa, has been accused of being a child molester.
Okay.
So there were there was a man, I think they call him Poppy, like P-O-P-I.
Okay.
And there were a couple of more that have came up telling him, yeah, when I was younger, when I was a teenager, I was scared because remember, they were still a gang. It's just like we talked about the Young Lords transitioning from a gang. So they still had the gang elements and the social conscious elements kind of mixed in together.
Yeah.
And so they were saying, I was scared to talk about it. And some of these guys, if you see them talking, like one of them just put out a book, they like you could see the trauma in their face, the trauma in their voice. And so the Universal Zulu Nation at first defended him. Then after that, when they started getting a bunch of backlash, like a bunch of hip hop people started coming back at him, a bunch of respected scholars and artists started kind of telling them, no, you need to kind of step forward. Yeah. Africa Bambaataa wouldn't step forward. He did some interviews with like the Fox local news channel in New York, denying it all, saying this guy's a liar. He's trying to make money. The guys, none of them are asking for money. They're just saying this is a story. We want him to come forward in front of the community, but he hasn't shown his face. So now you're seeing a trend. KRS-One, at first he said, no, we got to, you know, all these are just accusations. They're trying to bring a good man down, blah, blah, blah. I get it. That's your man's, right? That's your homie. But then he backed it up after people asked him to clarify, you know, because a lot of times there's a lot of victim blaming going on. That's why victims of sexual abuse don't speak up.
Yep.
KRS-One, pretty much, this was recently at a forum. He was in a speaker panel. He said that, no, if you're going to critique Africa Bambaataa, then you got to eliminate yourself from hip hop. You got to quit hip hop. And that's bullshit. Mm. Because he was a pioneer. Africa Bambaataa was, you know, a founding father, somebody real influential, but it was going to exist without him. You know, there were tons of kids doing graffiti, DJing, you know, DJ Kool Herc, you could argue maybe had a bigger influence than him. He was the guy who first started doing the big block parties, this Jamaican man in the Bronx. And so out of that wave is kind of where what they call the founding of hip hop started into the late 70s.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like KRS-One. Because I think he's defending an abuser. And it's been months and months, and Africa Bambaataa hasn't. So, I think there's enough testimony from victims. People who are well respected, like in the community in New York, have been speaking up, like within the Zulu Nation, saying, yes, this is true. Some of his ex bodyguards were was actually saying, you know, Some things are going on here. And so because of all of that, that's why I have KRS-One.
Interesting. Okay.
With Tupac. Hey. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
And you know, it's something that I didn't know. You know, I'm not too big on the unfortunately, I'm not well versed on hip hop. You know, I grew up listening to, like I mentioned earlier, to salsa. Mm-hmm. And I got introduced into Spanish hip hop later on in life. So to me, just like hip hop itself is not something that I've been able to get, you know, too much into detail. Mm-hmm. But it's something good to hear that. Well, it's not good to hear, but it's good to hear that they're voicing out of the bad that's
he's
going
getting
on,
backlash,
you know?
Which is good. Yeah.
So the, Tupac.
Mm-hmm. And then the other one, Tupac, right? It's real simple. People were mad. How can you say that? How can you say that, you know, he's one of the most conscious rappers? You're Carlos, you're the last person I'd expect to do this. Adriana was coming hard for me. Because I think that's her favorite rapper. And so this is my basic argument. Tupac is a great rapper. He's a great songwriter. He probably had one of the biggest impact in terms of society and culture and hip-hop history. But this is a list of rappers.
Yep.
So if it's about, you know, biggest hip-hop artist, I'm cool. Remember, it's my personal opinion. I'll be all right. Like, if somebody told me, you know, Tupac is the best, I'm like, okay, cool. Because there's more than just rapping to hip-hop. But if it's a list of rappers, then Tupac, he's considered by many to be the greatest of all time. Mm. And I think that's a really hard bar. 99% of the rappers, if you were to tell me Busta Rhymes is the greatest of all time, and I saw that everywhere. If somebody told me, or some of my own favorites, Nas, if somebody said Nas is the greatest of all time,
yeah,
I personally wouldn't agree. I could see the argument. Just like I understand why people would put Tupac on there. But for my opinion, I wouldn't consider Nas the greatest of all time, but he's one of my favorite rappers. He's in my tie for, you know, number one with Jay-Z and Big Pun.
Yeah.
So I think that it's just a really high bar, so it's easy, right? It's easy to just say, okay, that's overrated. So if anybody who's listening doesn't think Tupac is the greatest of all time, then you essentially agree with me because people are giving him a higher rating than what you do. And that's really it. You could call him great. You could call him whatever. I personally said he's not even in my top five.
Yeah.
But again, it's my top five. So it's just opinion.
Exactly, exactly.
If you don't agree with me, let me know. My Twitter is this is Carlos M. Some of you have me on Facebook or, you know, just write it up on the La Verdad Facebook page. I'll respond with my own profile. But yeah, that's really it. I like Tupac. I love Tupac, but I think he's overrated because he's not.
And throughout this whole like trend of the greatest rappers out there, I was able to find this one rapper. He's like 17 years old. He's called, his name is Afro, A-F-R-O.
Yep, I know who you're talking about.
Man, he's bad, dog. Like, he is good.
He's a talented kid.
Yeah, man. And he was just like in his story. He was I'll see if we could post it up on our page. But he was just basically talking about how, you know, as a punishment, his mom used to make him read the dictionary. And from there, he was just able to just, you know, get these crazy rhymes and goes into detail. And I think it's something that's missing out of hip hop right now. And, you know, rap in general is that we've been getting a lot what we call that mumble music. And it sounds good. It makes you want to dance and stuff like that. But in reality, there's nothing really, there's no core behind it, you know? And like I was mentioning before, I'm a big, you know, Spanish hip hop fan. So I can listen to some new reggaeton songs here and there, but nothing will get to my heart like listening to an old Vico C track, you know, like Viernes 13 or listening to Aquel Que Había Muerto, where you feel the words, where you're talking, where it's like it resonates in your heart. You know,
I feel the same way about a lot of the new reggaeton.
Okay.
I haven't had an interest in even listening to a new reggaeton album in a couple of years.
Yeah, me either.
Like, I haven't been interested enough to like look it up online. If it's on, I'll listen to it, or if it's something old, I'll listen to it.
And that's the problem with music, you know, and
cycles.
Yeah, it goes through that cycle. And I was talking to my dad about this earlier, and I was like, you know, I really want to bring that social conscious salsa, because a lot of the salseros that my generation knows is the salsa romántica, and we like to call this salsa monga. Mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of times it's just, you know, you have songs like Lluvia. Don't get me wrong, they're hits.
I love
they're,
that song.
They are great songs, great love songs, but they just talk about that, you know, or they might just talk about little cool things here and there, but nothing really talks about what's happening or what's going on. So everything goes through that phase, because if you listen to some old school reggaeton, you're talking about El Barrio, which is why I like certain rappers like Cosculluela, you know, like he takes it into what's going on and stuff like that.
I was just listening to a Cosculluela mix at work today.
Yep. So it just brings you back to that.
I have a question for you. Are there any salseros right now who are still doing that? Because I would bet that there are.
Who are bringing that old school salsa consciente? Mm-hmm. There's a group.
Just got to find them.
Yeah, there is a couple. For example, you know, well, it's a lot of the old school cats. You know, you still have Eddie Palmieri who's performing everywhere. And he was one of the pioneers of salsa consciente. And he was even investigated by the FBI because he used to do a lot of concerts for the Young Lords. So he's still around and he's still, you know, investigated. But a lot of the big salsa consciente guys are in New York, you know, and are kind of like mingled in between the poetic, you know, the poetry scene. So one of the guys that I like to listen to,
New York Poets Cafe.
Yeah. One of the guys that I like to listen to is El Flaco Navaja. And he's from New York. He's a big poet. He likes to imitate Hector Lavoe. And he does a lot of, he's actually part of this one band called Our Latin Thing. So if you have the chance to go on YouTube, check out Our Latin Thing, which is actually based upon Fania's album called Our Latin Thing. It was a little movie that they had done a while back. And what they do is they do a lot of the old school Fania songs, and they might add their own twist here and there. But a lot of the great up and coming artists are in that band. But as far as Salsa Consciente and Salsa Gorda goes, the people that keep it going nowadays is my people from El Peru, from Colombia and Venezuela.
Yeah.
Yeah, those three.
We spoke about this three or four episodes ago. It goes from country to country.
Exactly. Those three countries have kept Salsa Gorda alive. And a lot of those salseros have gone to those countries and they have, you know, kept it going down there with some heavy salsa gorda and stuff like that. But as far as new up and coming artists that are playing salsa gorda, that are talking about salsa consciente, I don't really have any other than Our Latin Thing. Right. I'm sure there's a couple of different bands, Mi Gente, if you know of any.
I have a challenge for you then.
Mm-hmm.
Since you're going to be doing the salsa kind of Fridays thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to bet money that there's more of them out there. I think we should try and find out who they are, because just like when you were talking about the mumble rap, I was going to say, you know, but J. Cole's winning, Kendrick Lamar's winning,
true,
Chance the Rapper. So there, you know, Vic Mensa, there are a lot of rappers out there, and I think it's making a comeback, but it wasn't going to happen until the people started supporting them.
Exactly.
Right. Once they started building their own buzz and then the mainstream labels, radio stations started seeing they were getting that attention from the crowds, that's when you've been seeing it rise back up to the surface.
Yep.
I think the same thing can happen with any music genre, including salsa. So we will complain about it, but let's try and be a part of that solution. So maybe
part of what we can do is
promote them.
And I know the Dominican Republic right now is big on the salsa scene. So there might be some big salseros out there that are doing some salsa consciente. I know that they have Mambo Consciente out there too, where they were doing a lot of using merengue for that. So I'll find out, man. I'll try to get on there. Because a lot of times what's been happening in the salsa scene is that they'll just use the old songs, you know. And since those songs were written so good, and they transcend any time. So you could play it nowadays and it will make sense. For example, the song that talks about La Gasolina, you know, the que está bien cara, you know, it was relevant 2 years ago. You know what I'm saying? So, and you have another song that actually a sneak peek into one of the songs that I'm going to play on Salsa Fridays is Juventud Siglo XX. And that one, you know, Willie Rosario performed it many times and talks about, you know, drug abuse and what's going on in the world right now. And you'll definitely see that stuff that was relevant in the 60s and 70s is still relevant today. Just might have a different name, you know, whereas, you know, heroin or cocaine was big back then. Now it's mollies and Xanax.
Life is cyclical.
Yep. Pero mi gente, you know, it's been great. I also do want to mention that, you know, we have some fresh stuff that is going to be coming out. I know that we have we have a link on our website. And as you guys know, you know, in order to put up this production, it takes a lot of time and effort as well as money.
That's money.
Yeah. So, you know, we don't like to be that typical guy that goes and does a GoFundMe. But what we want to say is, you know, if you support us, if you like us, first of all, rate and subscribe and yep, you know, spread the message, because that's what I care about most.
iTunes, but if you have, SoundCloud, exactly, Google Play Music.
But if you have a couple dollars to spare, feel free to donate it. That's going to be all put into, you know, equipment, putting out shows here in the city,
website fees,
websites. You know, it takes money in order to run this on a weekly basis. Pero mi gente, Carlos, what's the link to that?
No, it's honestly our website, laverdadltd.com. If you just go to Facebook, where one of the recent links is going to be from our website, probably a podcast episode or a blog, go up on there, click the link, and it'll be on the right hand side. On the right hand side, you'll see a big black donate button. And and the other thing, it's 100% secure. So our website is built on Squarespace.com's platform, and they have their own very secure payment gateway system. And so it's not just some stuff that we use where your cards are going to get hacked. It's actually ran and operated by a company worth millions and millions of dollars.
Yep. So, you know, if you have a couple of dollars to spare, feel free to donate out there. What we're going to be doing is we're going to give you a shout out in our show. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's basically it with that. So we appreciate it.
You know, hit us up. Follow us on social media, Instagram, Twitter, LaVerdadLTD, at LaVerdadLTD. On Facebook, it's the same thing. If you want to follow me, though, at This Is Carlos M. And Christian, he told you earlier, Alec.
Yeah, I probably got to change my name on there.
You got to make it easy. Yeah, I'll show you how to change. You got to make it easy for people to find.
All right, it's probably going to be Alec31, but I'll let you guys know.
If it's available.
If it's available. Hopefully nobody else has that.
And last quick thing, we're going to be at the beach on August 13. If you're in the area, stop by, say what's up.
Yeah, more info is going to go on Facebook. It's going to be here in the Chicagoland area. So feel free to stop by, say hi. Bring a carne asada. We'll cook it on the grill. We just want to be out there and chill and have an annual thing, you know, because what we care about is the familia. So
and end of the summer barbecue. In a couple of years, it'll be blowing up. But for now, honestly, we're not even really heavily promoting it. We told a couple of friends. So if you're in the area and you see it, just stop through. Come eat with us. But if you have some carne asada, we'll bring the sazon.
You'll definitely see it on the stories on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. We're going to make you jealous. Believe that.
For sure. Mi gente, it's been great. Let's go. Let's get back on it. Hit us up with any comments, any emails. We appreciate it. And big shout out to all those new listeners that are listening to us for the first time. This is Christian and we got Carlos. And we just want to say
peace. See you next week. We won't leave you hanging that long for a good while.
Take care.